sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Yo. Check 1-2. 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. All right, let's not make the same mistake I made last week. Hey! Hey, children! Hold on a second. Let me try that again. Hey, children! Fuck! I mean, hey, children! No, I meant... All right, welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzak on Twitter, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the web. Actually, I'm going to have to get back to you on that B Blizzak on Twitter because I'm currently banned on that motherfucker because I apparently, fucking liberal media, man. I said some shit in the fucking liberal media. Actually, you know, I'll elaborate later on. But yes. There's a chance you might not be able to find me on Twitter. Where was I? All right. My FYI. Right. FYI. Quick reminder for returning guests or information for new listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green and weighs a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on September 18, 2022 at, 7:56 p.m. and is brought to you by the letter FW. FW for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. You know, it's funny how... Well, first let me just start out and say... I think I'm going to reword that affirmation or that my intro because... Or as a reminder that, B, this is your fucking podcast. Do what you like. I don't know. Yeah, I have this habit of, excuse me, if I have this habit of, like, I'll welcome people to my house and break my back for people. This is not a self-pity thing. It's more of a mindset that I'm improve. I'm acknowledging it. I'm true. Improve, fix, correct. Whatever the fuck, but it's and people who are and the people who can relate. This is more for people who can relate. But yeah, I have this bad habit of inviting people to my house and inconveniencing myself for their comfort, so to speak. And you would think that would make me a good guest, but no, really, it just makes me not want to have anyone over my place. Ever again, because it's just a pain in the ass, having people over. I just make it shit more difficult. And the same applies to this podcast. I'm realizing, see, the thing is, I don't like going over an hour. After an hour, I start to feel like an asshole, but then I do have content shit that I made notes to talk about and I want to cover them, but see, right now, this intro was, like, this is off the cuff. This was not part of the plan, and it's eaten into my budget to not go over an hour. But I have to remind myself, fuck, man, you're doing this shit for you, B. Make your own self comfortable. Like, shout out to the friends in my lives who saw that in me and were like, yo, B, chill. Be yourself. This is your place. This is your joint. You know, I'm they're the ones, shout out to them for reminding me to, like, to not do that shit. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. But, okay, getting back to the script. This is really, I was supposed to start with, the fuck Whitey part is well deserved for when we get to random notes, random thoughts, where I will, yes, I will bring up on this week how the big thing a lot of people were talking about is the Black Mermaid, but I'll get back to that on that. But yeah, I'll get back. I will discuss that later. But for today's episode, if you clicked on it because you were hoping that I would be talking about sharing my thoughts on your homies, quote unquote, drinking liquor, then I'm sorry to disappoint you. This is not what this episode is about. Though, today's theme is, I think it's going to be mourning. Not le matin, mourning, like grieving. And it's more going to tie, well, because, mourning, because, first, let me start out. The title of today's episode comes from the first verse in Tupac's track, How Long Will They Mourn Me? The reason why the track crosses my mind is because this week, September 13, was the death anniversary of Tupac Shakur. And what's wild is usually I remember this or someone on social media reminds me that on the day of that it's his death anniversary. And my tradition is to post a picture of Tupac, just one single picture or several pictures of Tupac and forward whatever is on my timeline. I am to my followers. But this year I didn't do that. Why? Because I forgot. It breaks my heart that I, on September 13th, I only remembered on the 14th the 13th, the day before, was Tupac anniversary, and I didn't do anything, you know, like light a candle and all that shit. But okay, I gotta be honest. I think when I celebrate the death anniversary of Tupac, it's more because, well, A, he was my favorite rap artist at the time. Well, he still is, but he was my favorite rap artist. But I think thinking about Tupac is like remembering the portion of my childhood or my youth. Did you say youth? Yeah, my youth. Where affected by Tupac, so to speak. It's kind of like if I had a soundtrack for my life, a lot of the rap songs by Pac would need to be on there. So yeah, what note? You know what's funny is this episode is going to be published on the 9th, September 19th, and us public servant got the day off, but September 19th is a day that white folks or people who fuck, you know what? For sake of conversation, white folks will be pouring out some liquor for the queen. Well, I guess some tea, because that's what she drank. But yeah, whatever the fuck. But yeah, pouring out some liquor is another word is libation. That's what I mean by pouring out some liquor. But pouring out some liquor is also a title of a song by Tupac. I'm trapped up against a brick wall, trapped in a circle, boxing with these fools till my knuckles turn purple. Yeah, I don't know, man. I guess real quick, yeah. So Tupac death anniversary. He died on. Sorry, I'm laughing at my notes because I fucked up Pac's death anniversary with his birth. Okay, Pac's birth was June 16, 1971. He died on September 13. Oh shit, on Wikipedia they have him as assassinated. 1996. What was I doing in 1996? I think I was, 1996? I think I was, what was I doing in 96? I was in school and probably grieving over some bitch. Okay, no, getting over some heartbreak. I think, was it 95 or 96? I can't remember. I'm trying to remember 96. All I know is September 13, 1996, Pac died. Assassinated violently. Gun violence. Man, that man lived to 25 years. And every day I wondered whether I was better off living a life like Pac and dying at the age of 25 than living a life like mine and being like, and being like, okay, you know what? This is coming off as kind of negative. No, this is not meant to be he had a better life than me type of situation. This is more reflecting on what the fuck. I have these moments where I'm constantly reflecting, B, what the fuck are you doing with your life? One of the titles of this song of this episode was going to be I was thinking of making it Yo Pac do something, no, Yo B do something righteous with your life, which is a verse in his song which is a verse in a track by Pac called It Ain't Easy. But nope, all my homies drinking liquor, tears in everybody's eyes. Did I really? Yeah, all my homies drinking liquors, tears in everybody's eyes. Niggas cried to mourn a homie's homicide. But I can't cry. Instead, I'm just a shoulder. Damn, why they have to take another soldier? Yeah, man. I think I'm just taking some time to talk about Pac right now because it's my podcast. So I could do shit like that. Talam AC. Do you guys know Talam AC, the poet? The poet. Actually, this week I was trying to find some new poets to listen to. But anyways, yeah. Talam AC, spoken word artist from Newark, New Jersey, I believe. You know, I didn't even read that up. But she shouts out Newark, so I'm assuming it's from Newark. Anyway, yeah, no. Dope-ass spoken word poet. Okay. Talam AC is to me... It's the spoken word what Tupac is to hip hop. He's just my favorite. He's just like profound lyrics. I consider myself. He doesn't know it. They both don't know it. But I'm like a disciple of their work. Anytime I get a chance, I talk to people about it. And you know, Talam AC teaches us. Anyways, yeah. He's got a poem piece called "Live Through Me." And it took me a while to realize that he was talking about Tupac, and it's a powerful verse. I'm not going to play it on this because, you know, copyright, and I guess he would let me play it. But I'm just saying, cop it, man. Google it, man. Talam AC. Talam is spelled T-A-A-L-A-M, A-C, Live Through Me. It's just a profound verse, and I just love how he ends the whole song with, even in my death, real niggas have to live their lives through me. Which I thought was kind of powerful. Something like Jesus, like in there. But yeah, man. How long have I been talking? Yeah, I've been chatting a lot, man. What else? What else I got? Yeah, okay. Yeah, so Tupac, September. Like, you know what? September, specifically this week, is a big deal for in hip hop history. Oh, September 11th. Jay-Z likes to brag about how he still went platinum on September 11th. Two planes crashed into the World Trade Center and brought him down. And he was still able to go platinum on that day. But, you know, it's like I'm bigger than Bin Laden. But anyways, yeah, that's not what I'm bringing up. Another thing bringing up on during this week, it was the anniversary of the Ready to Die album by Biggie Smalls. To you kids, you know him as the Notorious B.I.G., and you know what? My favorite tracks on that album, in this order, I don't know, but I just, for quick thinking, gun to my head, I would say definitely number one, Suicidal Thoughts. That track hit me like the Red Wedding in Game of Thrones probably hit most people. Like, I remember the day after talking to my friends about, yo, did y'all hear that track? Suicidal Thoughts, this nigga's crazy. Yeah, it's a whole track where he talks about committing suicide, and just some powerful shit, man. Some powerful shit. Like, there's a lot of, you know, Ready to Die, but there's a great theme about dying on this album. In second place, this is a tie. It's Everyday Struggle and Ready to Die. Because the lyrics are so, there's something powerful. Like, the lyrics in there is the closest. The lyrics on that song hit me like a Tupac track, like it's poetry on that one. And yeah, and third place is Respect and Unbelievable. You know what? This list would probably will probably change, but I would say gun to the head. Like, I had made a playlist. I replayed Ready to Die on this week, and the songs that stuck out the most were the ones that I just listed out. But Suicidal Thought is definitely my favorite track on that album. Oh, shit. Hold on a second. So long. Someone's at my door. Just a second. Sorry. This is very unprofessional on my part. Okay, really, I had some Skip the Dishes coming up. And Skip the Dishes that I had to let in. But didn't realize he'd be here so quickly. Damn, when did I order this shit? Doesn't matter. Focus, B. Focus. You have an audience listening to you, man. Ready to Die album. So we're mourning because, you know, Biggie Smalls is dead. So two people that were mourning. That's why the theme of mourning is on my mind. Hold on a second. I'm wondering, making sure that homie was able to get in because I just got two notifications from, I don't know what that's about, but whatever. Yeah, okay. Now let's talk about rappers who are alive, I mentioned Jay-Z, but this week was also Nas's birthday, September 14, 1973. He was born in 73. And I nearly titled this episode We Will Survive because it's the... Hold on a second. Just a second, okay? I'm going to hit pause. And we are back. Yeah, sorry about that. Here, let me just... because we're back. Right, very unprofessional. What happened is the Skip the Dishes guy was, I'm gonna give him a low rating. I'm kidding. It's not his fault that my fat ass ordered food when I knew I was in the middle of recording a podcast. Anyway, yeah, so where was I? I was in the middle of explaining where exactly the priest touched me. Where on this doll the priest touched me. All right, sorry, that's random notes. Right. I'm still in my intro, right? I'm still doing the intro, right? Okay, Nas, We Will Survive by Nas. The reason I was going to pick that track is because Nas makes reference to, it's a track where he talks about Biggie and Tupac, and I figured it'd be like, tie up all three, but All My Homies Drinking Liquor, that won the title, that one. And the other thing, too, is, because I thought I was being clever, but then I saw on my timeline, like, a lot has happened in hip-hop. Another shout-out that I need to make for this week is it was also the anniversary of the Ice-T Power album, September 13, 1998. And I remember buying that record. It's funny, out of all those albums, Power's the only one that I had on record. I used to have a DJ set back in the days, and I really don't want to talk about how I didn't have a DJ set afterwards. I'm not going to get into that. But my point is, but one of the records that I had, I connected a lot of vinyl, and Power by Ice-T was one of them. Sorry, just adjusting my chair here. All right, let me get through this. All right, so for today's, so this concludes the intro portion. Why we did it, now you know the name of this album, and we are going to jump into This Week in Therapy and some random thought. This Week in Therapy is where I talk about something specific, and random thought is I'm all over the place. And again, I was like that on the intro too, right? All right, let me get this. Let me freestyle. You know what? I wasn't going to record today. I told myself that I was going to record tomorrow morning, specifically because I have the day off and I wanted to treat this podcast like a job. And so that's why I feel like I'm kind of freestyle. I rushed this up. I just forced myself to record today to stick to tradition, making Sunday my always recording time. It's kind of like going to the gym. For me it is like going to the gym. I have to stick to a specific date or else I won't go. But it's a discipline I'm trying to develop. But anyways, yeah, where was I? This week in therapy. This week in therapy, I am going to just bring up, discuss a topic that's been a topic, not a topic, a theme, a concept that my therapist kept, my therapist keeps throwing around, and she uses the word grieving your parents. Like every time I talk about, every time I bring up my parents in therapy, usually it's about a fight or a misunderstanding or just a frustration that I may have with my parents. Every time I bring it up, and she always brings up, have you finally grieved your parents? And she always brings it up, but she kept bringing it up. But it's one of those things that just went one ear and out the other. And this time for the first time, it stuck in. I found myself marinating on that concept. Oh, by the way, this also ties up to the concept of mourning, to the theme of mourning. Mourning your parents. And what she means by that, if I had to explain it, because I'm no psychiatrist, this is just me regurgitating my understanding of this, right? But if I had to explain the concept of mourning your parents to my homies drinking liquor, so just picture some homies, ultra masculine dudes who, what the fuck, I ain't trying to hear this concept of whatever, of this bullshit therapy concept. But the way I would explain it is the idea of, because I Googled it, I looked it up, and there's a piece that's in my show notes that you could look up for yourself. And it's basically letting go of the parents you wish you had growing up. I don't know if that makes sense for a lot of you, but that's the main idea. It's as if a lot of us grow up resenting our parents for not something. Some of us grow up, resenting our parents for not being the kind of parents you believe would have made your life better. Now, I'm thinking of I can't remember names anymore. Frederick Douglass. Yeah, Frederick Douglass. He's got a line where he says it's easier to raise. It's easier to raise good children than broken adults. What's that quote go? How'd you say it? Frederick Douglass. This is off the Frederick Douglass quote. What was that? I'm sorry. I don't know why that came up. That wasn't supposed to happen. I'm not sure why that happened. Maybe it's because of my short keys. Fuck me. Anyway, yeah, okay. Well, if it does it again, then I will turn it off. Okay, I'm turning it off. Fuck you, SoundCloud. Don't know what that's about. Anyways, quote. Frederick Douglass quote. Broken adults. Fuck, I'm wasting time. Yeah, I'm definitely going to go over. Right, okay, so his quote goes, it's easier to build strong children than repair broken men. What does that have to do with my parents you wish you had? Yeah, I guess when you feel like, I don't know, I had this notion of being a broken adult. I had a period, I have this period in my life I had. Okay, I'm speaking in denial a bit. Like, I think I'm going through this thing where I feel like I'm a broken adult. And I've been blaming my parents for it. Well, not like them directly, because I accept the fact that I know. Okay, look, I want to be clear. I know they did the best with what they have. So it's not like, it's not personal, what I'm trying to say. It's not directed at them. It's just like everything. Like it's look, being a parent is not easy. And they took up the mantle. Okay, we accept that. Being a parent is not easy. I recognize that. So this ain't a shit on my parents type of thing. This is more of a things you don't think about when you're getting ready to have children. And I've been going through this phase, like I've just been feeling like I'm a broken adult. And it just feeling that has created a little resentment towards my parents because I've been feeling like they contributed to it. But, you know, you can't make that a like, I understand that you can't make that a constant, like, diss them for him, attack them for him, or criticize them for it. It is what it is. It's just, look, man, it's not what happens to you. It's how you react to what happens to you that's important. And I'm working on how to react to that. But before therapy and all that shit. But, yeah, no, there was a resentment towards my parents for, not just my parents, but them, religion, especially religion. For how it contributed to me being a broken adult. And it's not just, anyways, yeah. Let me continue explaining the where I'm getting at, because I'm getting off track. Is Tupac in his track Dear Mama, I'm realizing the entire first verse, it's something I've been saying, is it's as if Tupac, the first verse is pretty much, first verse, I mean, the whole, like, bar, like, the verset. I don't know how you say it in English, but yeah, no, the verse, the first, what do you call that? If I go into lyrics, yeah, verse, okay. The first verse is him forgiving his mom. He talks about how she was a crackhead. And I can imagine him if my parents, growing up, I had to deal with parents who had drug problems, how I would be resentful of them because they were supposed to be, in my mind, they were supposed to be perfect. Like, a lot of us can't let go of the fact that some of us just can't accept the fact that our parents weren't perfect. It's dealing with that imperfection, especially when you were raised to believe that, hey, there's God and then there's us. If you grew up in that kind of notion and then you realize that you've been lied to, yo, you guys weren't perfect. You know what? I don't know if my parents can handle the idea that they weren't perfect adults, or would they tell me directly, you know, no, they'll tell you they weren't perfect. They just won't fess up to what exactly made them imperfect. But I think of Tupac, I think Tupac is probably the closest to explaining to be an example of someone who's mourned his parents. Because you get to a point where you are accepting of what they did right and what they didn't do, what you felt you wished they could have done better. And yeah, that's how I would explain that, the concept of, look, there's an article, there's a smarter person who wrote a piece on this, and it's on this site called Goop. It's in my show notes, called Moving From an Imperfect Childhood by Goop. And yeah, no, there's the shit that I was thinking about is there's a part where she talks about, yeah, most of us enter adulthood with some grief work to do, with some grief work to do. It's essentially, yeah, I guess it's just accepting your childhood and moving on from that. That's the main idea. With that said, this week I had an argument with my pops, and it doesn't matter what the argument was about, but the point is that moment, it realizing, I remember telling them, it was sometimes, I'm better off speaking to a wall, because he just wasn't hearing me, man. He just, if he was, he didn't show any sign of it that he, oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Oh, my God. Forgot to raise the levels on this motherfucker. Oh, man. Damn. Well, okay. Well, the first portion of this podcast is going to suck. Okay. Well, the levels were a little low. Oh, man. I suck. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Woo. I have this uncontrollable need to beat myself up because I just realized the levels are fucked up on this podcast. Wow. Should I re-record this? Whatever, man. Pull through. Fuck it, man. Man, anyways, I got food waiting for me, and I need to catch the next episode of House of the Dragons. Right, where was I? What was I saying? Yeah, man, I think I was saying, explaining how moving on from imperfect childhood, I feel like I'm just spinning the wheels, but that's been a concept stuck in my head. Right, argument with my dad. See, that's the relationship I had with my parents is, and I'll put it this way, I'll fast forward to this. In therapy, I realized, I'm moving on from arguing with my dad, and it was like talking to a brick wall, and if you were, I was able to understand what I was saying, he didn't really give me any sign of it. But during therapy, I had a moment where I realized that I have no idea how an adult, a healthy adult, behaves when they're angry. See, it ties into the argument I was having with my dad, because I'm realizing that I was letting my emotions get control of me, and I was feeling like a child trying to convince his father that he's an adult now. That's what made the conversation so annoying. But with that said, I have this one relative who I just don't want to speak to. Just like, it's even worse talking about brick walls and whatever. But it's more because I have a rage, an anger towards them that I have no idea how to express it, and keeping the fact that they're an elder. Like, if they were strangers, if we weren't related, words red. I'd be talking to them while seeing red, basically cussing them out, whatever weakness they have, whatever I know will hurt them, that's what's coming out. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there saying, oh, you need to control that shit. Yeah, thank you very much. But I'm kind of passionate right now. I'm admitting that there's what I should do, and then there's what I will do. And what I will do at the moment is, yes, if I talk to this person, it won't be a productive conversation. So I've been avoiding this person. It got to the point that I blocked them. But it made me think of part of why I blocked them is because I don't know how to handle this kind of rage and communicate that all these negative feelings to this person. Because on their end, the way they're going to react is just block, karate block. Every argument, every point that I try to make is dismiss. Ignore, whatever. Like, the only thing I know about all my examples of adults arguing is basically when you're in an argument, it's basically dealing with another man. Dealing with a relative. Any argument, it's say what you want to say, and your intention is, well, raise your voice, because, you know, if you don't raise your voice, no one's going to know that you're angry. And if it's an adult, you know, you got to try to avoid curse words. But if it's someone at your level, curse as much as you want. The other thing, too, is if you're dealing with another man, like, this is how the anatomy of our arguments is you argue, find ways to hurt the other person, and since you're dealing with a man, your objective is to say the right thing that will provoke them to throw the first punch. So really, you just want to fight. It's supposed to end with you fighting, but it's got to be self-defense. You got to be able to claim self-defense. Now, in my family, it very rarely gets to the point where we're throwing punches at each other, but holy shit, it gets very fucking close to it. But with that said, I'm just thinking of all my examples of dealing with my with family. Yeah, man, I don't know how a healthy adult behaves when they're angry or when they're hurt. I just know full curse words, and first one to give in is the sucker, is the loser. Like, yeah, I have this one ex-girlfriend that I will give credit, you know. I usually talk shit about her, but I'll give this one credit. I'm sorry. No, I am not that type who talks shit about his exes. But it's just because I'm getting ready to give this person a compliment, and I don't want to to make it sound like like I'm praising this person. It's weird. I'm weird like that. But anyways, yeah. She had this amazing talent. For me, it was an amazing talent of when she was hurt or angry, she didn't raise her voice. And she didn't allow you to raise your voice with her. And she had an amazing vocabulary. Like, I remember it was like, bing, bing. Like, feeling the same effect of, like, I remember her using her vocabulary so efficiently, so effectively, that my feelings were getting hurt. And I'm like, what the fuck? How is this possible? She hasn't cussed me out. She hasn't used the F word. And yet, I can't stop thinking about my small dick. I don't know, whatever. I'm just saying, she was very effective in using her words in a way that communicated that you hurt me. I am hurt. I felt hurt. And it was painful. I mean, you know, I'm not saying I cried, but I was close to it. But I'm just saying it was an effective way of communicating hurt, anger, without raising her voice. Sure, I felt a little disrespected, but it was still amazing. It was still amazing. But I'm just saying, how do fucking healthy couples, how do healthy families, I would love to see that video, that clip, that YouTube clip, that documentary. No, that's not true. I won't watch that because that sounds boring. But it would be nice to see how healthy adults communicate grievance with each other. Oh, man, what's that movie that I saw recently? It was on HBO. What's the name of, is it Joaquin Phoenix? No, because I can't remember the name of the, okay, look, I'm just going to explain. It's a show based on two couples, and the whole thing is them dealing with their divorce. It's pretty much two couples breaking up, and there's a portion in there where this woman is telling her husband, fuck, you know what, I got to tell you who, I gotta tell you. Okay, the couple they're communicating with each other how the relationship didn't work. And there's a part where the woman is explaining to the man how she doesn't love him anymore. And I'm like, wow. How it would be impossible for me if I'm in a relationship with someone and they're in the process of explaining to me how they don't love me anymore. That's an act of war. That's like I can't picture myself being receptive past that point. But in this show, the man, these two people are more mature than I'm able to that I've ever expressed the maturity that I've not used to. And just seeing those two go back and forth, have like a dialogue with each other. And but she's just spitting facts, like, homie, I don't love you anymore. And he's like just taking it in. He's not like, why? No, he's just like, when did it happen? When did you start losing feelings for me? And you know what? Let me give you the title of this movie. Because that's what made this whole show entertaining, because it was just watching these two people express I don't love you anymore. Like that part of the relationship. It's just like no one was throwing things. No one was like, yo, I'm gonna get my homies. I'm gonna shoot your little brother. You know, nothing like that. It was just a dialogue. And that to me made that movie so cool. Okay, now let me try to remember the title of this episode. Now just check this out, what I gotta do to figure out. I'm Googling newsroom because the person who wrote the movie was Aaron Sorkin. Yes, all right, because Aaron Sorkin, I got to look up Aaron Sorkin. No, I'm sorry. The reason I'm looking up Aaron Sorkin is because he made a movie with one of the actresses that's in there, and it's called, because I can't trust my brain to remember this shit, it's called, not Moneyball, not Newsroom, Molly's Game, right? And that actress who plays in Molly's Game, her name is Jessica Chastain. There we go. And the name of the movie is, boom, 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 drum roll, please. I need a better internet connection. The name of the movie is, it's called, God damn it. It's called, Scenes of a Marriage. Jesus Christ. Oh, it's a TV series. It's not a movie. Okay, it's a TV miniseries. Scenes from a Marriage. Television drama miniseries which reexamines the origin iconic depiction of love, hatred, desire, monogamy, marriage, and divorce through the lens of a contemporary American couple. Right. Okay. Yes. Right. Okay. And that's what just made it so entertaining for me is just watching these two adults, this man and this woman, I guess I should give credit to the other guy, Oscar Isaac, great acting, and just talking to each other about how I don't love you no more. You know, like usually this shit is in an R&B song and it's just, yeah. Okay. Am I off topic again? Yeah, no. So This Week in Therapy was, yes, mourning my childhood and also thinking about how I didn't have the kind of parents who communicated how to express anger, hurt in a way that was the other person would listen. But then again, maybe they did, but they weren't really good at listening to that kind of shit. It's like, yo, you hurt? Deal with it. Put a fucking bandit on it. And all that. But yeah, man. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna wrap up this week in therapy with those two thoughts. Because I'll talk forever. We'll talk forever. But I will link this movie Scenes from a Marriage in the show notes. So I'm gonna put that in there. Movie worth watching. Okay. Oh, tabana. Control. God damn it. My fingers. You know, maybe I'm just hungry. I'm a little grumpy because I'm hungry. So let's jump to random thoughts. First thought that comes to mind was The Message by Grandmaster Flash. Broken glass everywhere. Oh, sorry. It's a jungle sometimes. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Boom, 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 boom. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, and just a quick thought about that song is I was, nothing funny, but I was just thinking about how, what exactly prevents me from going under? Like in the old days when I was more spiritual, this is more of a spiritual crisis, but in the old days, I would have told you my faith in white Jesus. No, actually, I would have said my faith in God. Like the idea that there's nothing that's going to happen to me that this God will allow. There's nothing that's going to happen to me that I can't handle. I think that's what my faith was. That's what kept me from going under. Like, stops you from losing. Like, hey, shout out to all my homies drinking liquor. What keeps you from going under? I guess liquor. does that make any sense? I think for me, lately I've discovered meditation. And what I like about meditation, it's like that part in my brain that tries to tell me that you're fucked. You're losing it. Meditation allows me to like treat that voice like it's a voice in like on a speaker system as opposed to a commanding voice saying, hey, you're fucked, behave like it. But yeah, man, I'm just saying reflection on what stops you from going under in this crazy life that if it's not trying to kill you, it's trying to drive you crazy. Yeah, that's today's reflection. All right, let's jump to, by the way, I have five random thoughts, and this is one of five right now. So number two is The Black Mermaid. This week I had a moment. Okay, this week there was a lot of controversy, a lot of hoo-ha, a lot of reactions to the fact that, what's the movie called? Black Mermaid. No, it's called Little Mermaid. And I remember watching this video of black kids reacting to finding out that the main character in the movie, in the cartoon, was going to be played by Halle Bailey. Not Halle Berry, which I got it confused with. It's Halle Bailey, who apparently is an R&B artist. But what's important is a black woman. And she's going to play the Little Mermaid. So, of course, now, here's the thing. I remember watching a video of black children reacting to it, and it was like to most human beings, that shit would just warm your heart. But to me, I remember feeling constantly telling myself, oh shit, these white folks are not gonna like this. That was my first thought. It kills me. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying, instead of enjoying putting myself in the shoes of these children, all I can think about is how much these white folks are not going to like it. And of course, there's a picture of this one white woman who decided to, true white people fashion, to, this is a Reddit post. It goes, racists show their true colors. I'm trying to get the name of the organization. Her name is T. Fathwell? Whatever. Anyways, Christians Against the Little Mermaid boycott Halle Bailey. Christians, of course. Shout out to this should be under my church ratchetness shit. But yeah, is this white woman who puts herself in blackface and I guess red lipsticks, and she's taking a selfie in the mirror, and in the caption it says, "I'm gearing up for the Little Mermaid." I'm not sure what WYD means, but whatever. Anyways, yeah. But watching that picture made me think of, that's exactly what I was scared of. It's as if I have like this fear, or this like, okay, I'm preoccupied by the white gaze, but I knew this shit was coming. It, like, I'm okay, I'll admit it. As much as it's ignorance, as much as we could dismiss this as stupid people doing stupid things, I am on the list of people who, yeah, that kind of shit, like, you know, fucks with me. And it's more how I'm angry and there ain't shit I can do about this rage. Sure, like, you know, I want to punch this girl. Yeah, fuck it, man. I want to punch this girl for doing that shit. But you just got to let it slide. You just got to, it's dealing with racism, being black and dealing with racism. It's just one of those things that you just got to, look, man, you just got to able to handle. Look. There are no books written on how to respond to racism. So all of us are just trying to do our best. And I'm admitting that, yeah, watching those children react, feeling happy at the, like, those children probably reacted to the Black Mermaid the same way I reacted to that episode of House of the Dragon. And I got to see a black guy on a dragon yelling Jakaris. Like that got to, it's like watching Obama becoming first president at his inauguration, hear him at his inauguration, how proud I felt in that moment. But yeah, but those children were like shocked and they were like in that moment. But for me, all I can think about is people like that and how they were going to react. It's like, great, now I'm gonna have to deal with white people talking shit. But that's how it is, man. There is no manual written on how to react to racism. And I guess I'm just admitting that I'm still working on my ability to react to racism. At the moment, it's constantly being, fuck, great. We just gave them a reason to be racist. I'm not saying we gave them a reason. We didn't ask for it. They just decided to make it, and we're grateful for that decision. I say they, the creators of Little Mermaid, decided to go, hey, we're going to, I guess what I'm saying is I'm more focused on the negative response than I am on the positive response. Because there were people who were, shout out to, I like the, like, the redhead women on TikTok. There was a series of videos, like, TikTok's been feeding me a lot of videos of people, white people, reacting positively to Halle Berry, a black mermaid, and one of them was just saying how she had red hair, and she said, like, when Ariel, I guess the name of the character is Ariel, had red hair, that was a big deal for us. And she was able to connect to how those black children felt to how to seeing a black mermaid. And she was like dismissing or condemning all the white people. It's like, hey, man, I ain't in your clique, man. I'm actually happy that they made the decision. Don't include me as being white. I mean, yeah. Sorry, my headphones are tripping now. Fuck, man, this episode is haunted. Right. Anyways, yeah, so I'm going to leave that in the show notes about how, because as much as there are white people reacting, showing their true racist faces to the Black Mermaid, Black people reacted to it. And it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny. But that's, I'm going to leave that article in the show notes on, oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to leave that article. And before I end this random thought, I'm going to read the what I tweeted about white people's negative reaction to the Black Mermaid. I said, I don't think those angry white folks and their allies in brackets are actually mad at a Black Mermaid. I think they're mad at the idea it's making Black children happy. There's an evil aspect about racism that we frequently neglect. Yeah. All right. Okay, let's jump to, all right, a quick moment for Black girl admiration. Excuse me. Big girl admiration. Big girl admiration. My. Okay. This moment of big girl admiration came to me after watching this clip of Lizzo reacting to, I'm going to play this, but it's Lizzo accept the Emmy for a competition series for Watch Out for the Big Girls. And this was her acceptance speech.
Thank you to the Emmys and the Emmys voters. First of all, I'm very emotional. And the trophy is nice, but my emotion is for these people who are on this stage with me. The stories that they shared, they're not that unique. They just don't get the platform. Telling stories. Let's just tell more stories. When I was a little girl, all I wanted to see was me in the media. Someone fat like me, Black like me, beautiful like me. If I could go back and tell little Lizzo something, I'd be like, you gonna see that person, but bitch, it's gonna have to be you. Where are my big girls? Are they here? Come! Come! 1 year ago, these women were filming this television show that would change their lives forever. They are Emmy Award winning. So,
yeah. Shout out to Lizzo and her award. I don't know. I felt that. I just like the idea of representation matters. This is where all this is going. Representation matters. I'm just a big fan of Lizzo and rooting for her success. And I remember her first, how she first came on the scene because she started twerking with a G-string on at a LA Lakers game. And I thought it was courageous. So I was brave on her part, knowing that people were going to, the haters were going to hate on that shit. But I love the fact that she knew people like me were going to be like, damn, look at that ass. Look at that ass. Now, I'm going to continue this subject as I owe to big girls. First, I want to start by saying that I am really not trying to pit women against each other. I know for women, there's a challenge. Everyone is trying to tell them how you should look. And I really don't want to contribute to some girls' insecurities. When I do this homage to big women, it's not to be like, oh, all y'all, the rest of y'all suck. Look, man, shout out to any woman, whatever size, religion, height, weight, whatever the fuck, who can make me, who can do whatever magic needs, whatever magic they do, and make me go, damn, you know, and say, damn, that's a pretty woman. You're pretty. That like, you know, any woman could do that. Any woman that, I'm just going to say, you know, any woman has, can show their beauty in a way that can, you know, high five to the women. You know, I this is me trying to, say something nice about femininity and the beauty in femininity. Okay. Acknowledge that. With that said, I do have a preference. I think it just happens a lot more for me when it comes from big women. That's really what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say all women are beautiful without using the word, but all women are beautiful. And special honors goes to big women. All right? Man, I should have written that down. It's like I'm trying to compliment beautiful women and while saying that, is it a preference? I mean, you know, my soulmate isn't big. I'd be able to handle it. Not that I believe in soulmates, but I'm just saying, well, that is a complicated thing to say, man. Like, somewhere out there, someone understands what I'm trying to say. I'm just having difficulty expressing it. Is shout out to beautiful women and shout out to big, beautiful women, especially. Honorable mentions to big, beautiful women. With that said, I'm also going to add that how lately I've been getting my inspiration for big, beautiful, from big, beautiful women. And I don't mean that in a pervy way. Yes, I do have a Twitter account, a Instagram account dedicated to thirst traps and shit like that. But that's not what I'm trying to get at. The inspiration comes from the fact that a lot of these women likely started out never knowing they were beautiful. And something happened and they found the courage to take those pics, to show themselves out. And ignore, give a middle fingers to the haters, and do their thing. I am grateful for that. I'm grateful to them for doing that. One, for my thirst trap needs, and two, they show more courage with their beauty than I'm currently showing to my own podcast. It's like they've accepted who they are, and I can't explain this part, that the confidence to be like, fuck it. I know someone, they look in the mirror and they know, I know I'm hot. And like that courage to be like, if you don't like it, go fuck yourselves. But I know I'm hot. And to me, it's just, I remember I've taken this kind of stuff for granted. It's like watching a model take pictures of themselves. Like a lot of work goes into those pictures that you, some of you guys beat your meat to. But I'm saying not just the makeup, but the courage, I want to say the audacity to show up and stand up in front of that camera and say, I'm hot, and believe it. Especially in a world that constantly wants to believe that you ain't shit, that you're ugly, that you're that just wants you to basically, a world that's either trying to kill you or drive you crazy. Salute to the big women, man. That's. I guess I should have written a conclusion for this one, but yeah, salute, big girl admiration portion. All right. What is this? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, 4 or 5. So the last one, no, the before last one is. I'm watching this documentary called. I've been watching. Called this French documentary called Priez pour nous. That's actually was going to be the title of this episode at the beginning of this week. And it's a French documentary about basically the Catholic Church in Quebec and the sexual, all the sexual abuse around the Catholics. Like, you know, usually we're used on hearing this as a punchline, as a joke to, hey, the Catholic priests abusing little children. But this documentary just shines a light on the situation. And I got to tell you, man, this shit, it's tough to listen to. It was tough, especially when the victims come forward and tell their stories. And I got to tell you, like, they share their stories. It's tough to listen to. But a part of me, after listening to them, a part of me feels like I owe it to the victims who found the courage to come forward. Like, it's like I'm my one of what keeps me listening to this documentary, despite the fact that a lot of times I just want to say, oh wow, it's like, this is tough to hear. It's, this is me trying to give meaning to their suffering. Cause that's all they, you know, that's all they could get from this crazy society. Well, aside for justice, getting some justice from this shit. But one of the, I was shocked to find out, I guess it's one of those headlines I must have missed, but Nathalie Simard, growing up, she was just like a child entertainer. She used to make music for children, her and her brother. Well, I think he mean music. It doesn't matter. But yeah, so she used to make music for children. And she talked about how she came forward. And there's a quote that I'm not going to say it in French. I'm going to translate it in English. And it goes, her coming forward is not about vengeance. It's a way to free herself from what happened to it. Remember I talked earlier about it's not what happens to you, it's how you react to it. And it's her liberating herself by doing so. And she's just trying to move forward, trying to be better. And this is her attempt by coming forward is to hoping it will stop. Look, when I was listening to these victims, I won't lie, even I was like, in that moment, it's not that I'm calling them liars. It was more how unbelievable their story were. Like, so much that I was like, it can't be true. It's like, I wanted to, like, it just, that moment of how I reacted to what they were saying just made me how courageous these people were to come forward. Because, yeah, what they were saying is like, it's like we built this image of the church being kind of like our parents, perfect. What's that word? Yeah, perfect. Untouchable. It's like they were the model of, like, if you're running from a bad guy and you're running inside the church, you're supposed to find, like, sanctity, like, be safe inside a church. And it was the complete opposite. And I feel bad for these people coming forward because they were, like, a unique, silent voice. A lot of people didn't want to believe what they had to say. Actually, there's a part where this is an I'm at episode 3 at the moment. There's 4 episodes, and I finished the third one. And there's a part where they were talking about how, you know, the church was in full crisis mode, defending themselves from their action and basically denying it. That's what makes it even worse. They denied the situation, and one guy mentions how, you know, the church had more interest in paying for their lawyers than they had in paying or paying reparations to the victims. It's fucked up, man. It's fucked up. Like, look, man, I'm so glad I'm not a priest. And what I mean by that is because you got to defend that shit, or you got to deal with the consequences of these fuck ups. Basically, you're standing there talking about how the church is great while having these crimes that have been committed and ignored. And it's like, yo, I'm just saying it's pretty much impossible for me to hear what a priest has to say or the Catholic Church has to say. Like, their spokesperson might as well quit that job, because ain't shit I'm trying to hear from. Like, it's too late to apologize. It's too late to be like, we fucked up. I'm like, burn the churches, man. Burn the churches and burn all the pedophile priests with them. And then if you don't want to come forward and snitch on the pedophiles, then you burn with them. That's where my mind state is. Look, I am not endorsing burning churches for legal reasons. I'm not saying that. I'm not encouraging listeners to burn churches. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the way that I feel, fuck, man. Yeah. Ain't shit a Catholic priest can tell me right now. Like, you've done so much dirt. Ain't no path to redemption for that shit. Look, if Jesus died, he did not die for that sin. If he did, I'm like, yeah, man. man. It's fucked up, man. It's a difficult documentary to go through, but it is worth listening to. It is worth listening to, and I guess I'm admiring the courage by the victims, by these survivors who are coming forward and sharing their stories. And I hope they get justice, man. I hope they get justice, and I hope one day pedophile priest becomes this thing in the past that we can look back and be like, hey, joke about or whatever, or not joke about, but it just becomes that thing in the past that we can talk about in a healthy way. All right. Okay. So last random thought is I'm going to finish this with a little moment of positivity. And this is another Reddit post that I found, and it's called The Children Shall Lead. And I don't know why. Yeah. And what it is a, I guess, a trans woman explaining to his little brother what he's going through. I'm going to play it. It's going to make more sense when you hear it, right? And it's just the interaction that gets me. And what I was focused on is like, I wasn't sure because I don't have, I'm assuming it's trans women. But yeah, I know this person is explaining to his little brother how he feels about his, about their transition. And here we go.
Just you mean transgender to
one more time.
What do you mean transgender to a new gender?
All right, what if I told y'all I wouldn't be transgender more? How would you feel?
What?
How would you feel more?
I would be confused. I would be confused as heck.
Why would you be confused?
Because you're a boy and one transgender into a girl. That would make me confused.
How would that make you confused more?
Literally, why would you transgender into a boy when you into a girl when you're already a boy? You're already one gender.
Because what if I don't feel right in this gender? What if I'm sad about being this gender, and I'm happy another gender?
Okay, that would be good for you. That would be good for you, though.
Yeah. So what if I'm sad right now, and I don't like walking around getting haircuts? What if I feel better with wigs and makeup on? Don't I seem happier?
Yes.
Okay, so what if that's what I want to do to make me happy?
Okay.
And like,
okay.
How would you feel?
Okay, I would feel kind of normal because you usually put wigs on. Then when you transition to a girl, you're going to have a longer hair thing.
I don't got long hair right now?
You got long hair right now, though. You still got long hair.
All right. Okay. Would you still love me the same?
Yes.
All right, man. You'll still be confused?
No. Because you already told me what you feel like.
What I feel like?
Yes.
All right, Mark.
So that was their moment of positivity. It was his brother's response to, would you still love me the same? And it was yes. I think about my family, and I don't think my family would properly handle if we had like a trans what's the word I'm looking? Yeah, if we had a member trans person, woman or man, in our family, yeah, that poor soul would be going for hell. I mean, I guess I would have to express that I'm one of the allies, or not, I'm one of the allies, but they would get support from me. But I'm just saying, in my family, if we had someone who was trans, we probably do. If we did have, they're probably keeping it to themselves because, we're the kind of family that's like, the only truth you need to know is in the Bible. Anyway, yeah. I don't know, man. I'm not going to ruin this moment of positivity. I just love the way the little brother started out with, why would you do it too? Yes, I would still love you. And no, I wouldn't be confused because I see your point. And yeah, man, I'm just gonna end it with that. I'm just going to, you know, yeah, I'm just gonna end it with that. This concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Yeah, today's episode. You can holler at me on, you know what? Twitter's fucking with me, so I'm not sure if @BBlizzak is going to work. You know why they're banning me? It's because I use, because Kev on Stage, shout out to Kev on Stage, by the way. No, if you're a fan of his, tell him I bought his master class. I'll explain that in another episode. But yeah, man, Kev on Stage made a joke about how he likes, I think, pumpkins. And and he shared this clip that's going around the internet of this dude in New York who was who's getting punched by these guys, and then he responds by pulling out an axe on these people. That's not the problem. But anyways, yeah, there's a scene where he's getting punched by these guys and he's acting unfazed. And Kev on Stage posted that clip, and he wrote and he put in and a caption is "Black people reacting to me like in pumpkin." And, of course, the comment sections is filled with shame on you and blah, 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 all those kind of jokes. And I added the joke. I replied with stone him. Now, Twitter didn't like that, and they banned my account. Like, I'm appealing the decision because, look, yeah, I'm appealing the decision because it was a joke. But if it was a bad joke, then I guess I want them to know that the intention was humor. And there was no way, because they put that, hey, we don't accept harassment or people encouraging people to do harm on other things. Like, I want to be clear that, look, I don't know if it's Kev on Stage who flagged that comment, because that dude, it's understanding that dude gets a lot of criticism, but he's just another dude putting himself out there. And of course, there's always haters out there. And maybe someone has threatened his life or said some shit like some crazy Christian told them to stone him. Maybe my joke was not processed. The impact was not taken as a joke. And if that's the case, like if Kevin Sonstage was the one who flagged that my tweet, then I want to, dude, bro, I apologize. That was not my intention. I am not going to make any excuse for my failed attempt at humor. But it's like, I want you to know that, no, I am not one of those haters on the internet. I'm rooting for your success. And if that joke, if I could go back in time, knowing what I know, then I wouldn't have made that joke. I would have said, seize him, whatever, or something like that. But yeah, with that said, at the moment, my account is disabled. I'm a little pissed off at Twitter for misreading that joke. But yeah, so till further notice, I am on Twitter. You could use Shut Up Podcast 1, @ShutUpPodcast1 for Twitter. And the website is still shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. And until further notice, use the RSS feed on the website to subscribe to the podcast. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcasts.